Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Our Father,
we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us, Father, as we seek to be more like you, that you would give us the courage, Father, and the desire to pursue you with all our hearts. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom as we open your word. We thank you again for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to greet all of you this morning and in the precious name of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at the time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so it is now also. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. Okay, this is a lot of information here, talking about the bond and the free, the slave and those who are of the promise. What I want to talk about this morning is basically in verse 29, one of the last things it says is, so it is now also. So it is now also. When we look at the Bible, all through the Bible, you see a pattern of faithfulness and establishment, and then bondage, corruption, and then faithfulness, freedom, faithfulness, bondage, corruption. Just a continual circle. Most get caught up in the establishment, looking for something very solid. But this is portrayed, this mountain is slavery and bondage instead of freedom. All through the Bible, it's that way. And once in a while, someone has faith and just walks by faith. They hear God. They actually have ears to hear God speaking as He's speaking throughout all the ages. A man last night tried to tell me the book of the Revelation, it was for a specific time period. It wasn't for this generation. And I told him, eternal truths are forever. Eternal truths. Things that God spoke to the church. The church is the same today as it was yesterday. And we have people all over the world that are trying to emulate something that happened way back then. Something they're trying to re-establish the early church. They're trying to re-establish Anabaptism. And people are going all over looking for this mysterious thing called Anabaptism, or this mysterious thing called the early church. They're looking for a church that fits the pattern that they think that's what it's all about. They search all over looking for the church that's going to give them what they're searching for. They're looking for the church that's built on the same pattern so that they can find some comfort there. They're looking for something that is false. One of the brethren, Olden, last night said we were talking about the Anabaptist. And all these people going around, they've got the Anabaptist identity. They've got these Anabaptists in crisis. They've got all these Anabaptists. And they're all trying to come up with this perfect image of what an Anabaptist church ought to be like. And Old just said the Anabaptists weren't trying to figure out what an Anabaptist was. They were just being one. Everybody's going around trying to figure out what an early Christian was, and trying to look at what they ought to look like, and try to act like what they ought to act like. They're trying to imitate something. They're trying to go around, they're trying to imitate the early Anabaptist. And so they try to, from the outside, try to form this pattern or this picture of what it's all about. Instead of just putting into practice what Jesus said. We're trying to create this church. We're trying to make something. Trying to belong to something that is right instead of being what is right. Jesus said, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The man with a cross is an individual that cannot be duplicated. A man with a cross is an individual that cannot be duplicated. The path, the pattern that I had to follow to seek the Lord, to follow the Lord. You know, whenever I was growing up, I wanted to be saved, and that's all that mattered. But whenever I truly began to read and seek and follow the Lord, I began to read verses in the Bible. I was going to be a rich man. And when I began to read the verses in the Bible that Jesus said, "Sell everything you have and follow me." That's not what I wanted. It wasn't even about the money. I just loved the excitement of gaining, of taking on a lot of stuff. Just the excitement of, I used to say, biting off more than I could chew and then chewing it. Just reaching out there and the game of being a businessman. The game of just succeeding in things. And I just loved that. Just loved it. It wasn't even about the money. It was just being being in this thing and just going for it. I love that. I love just wanting to be successful. And I begin to read these verses about what Jesus said. And it came to the place where he said, sell everything you have and follow me. And everything in the Bible that I was, as I studied, people were trying to tell me it don't mean that. Get a part of an established group and just be a part and just be faithful right there. But every time I read this, Jesus was saying, follow me. And I finally got to the place where I had to surrender and just sell out. Get rid of it all and follow Jesus. I can't tell you to do that. Just doing that because I did that doesn't give you a cross. We have to seek the Lord ourselves. What happens is there's a bondman and a free. There's religion and there's a cross. There's spirit and there's the world. And we have to choose that. We have to walk that path ourselves. This cross. Whenever you're carrying a cross, you're not concerned about all the religion that's around you. You've got about all that you can do to carry your cross. Sometimes it gets pretty heavy. It gets discouraging. Just remember a song that says that, Lord, you've given me a mountain that I don't know if I will be able to climb it. Life's been full of hardships and valleys and things going on. But this time, you've given me a mountain that I don't know if I can climb. You know, when you're climbing a mountain, when you're climbing a mountain that you don't even know if you can climb it, there's a lot of things going on all around you that just don't even matter anymore because you've got your hands full. Religion has got all the time in the world to worry about what's going on all around them. This faith. Faith. A cross is all that you can do on your own. Jesus carried a cross. And he broke down under it. He fell under its weight. Because it was all that he could do. That's what this free person does. This free man. We can try to imitate. We can try to duplicate. Not necessarily imitate. It's all right to imitate someone. But to try to duplicate, to create something for yourself, is what happens whenever we get religion. That's what happens to religion. You know, whenever we first started reading the Anabaptist, when we first started reading the early church, We hadn't patterned ourselves after them, trying to come up with what they came up with. We didn't try to make everything just so we appeared that way. We were just walking and following. And then when we began to read them, we began to have kinship and fellowship with them. We weren't trying to make ourselves like them. We were trying to do what they were doing. Just following Jesus. And whenever people, each individual, will just follow Jesus. Take up their cross. Bear the cross that's given to them. And just carry it and walk with it. You begin to recognize other people. You begin to recognize someone with a cross. You begin to recognize someone. You can see someone that has a cross. And you can have fellowship with that person. You can understand. Religion can't see that. They're blind to that. All they can see is religion and not measuring up. They can't understand someone with a cross on their back. That's why they crucified Jesus. Because they just couldn't understand. He didn't fit the pattern. He didn't fit the ideal of what they had construed to be their mountain. They didn't understand it. It's happened over and over again. And so it is now also. The same old thing happening over and over again. The Jewish people, they had Moses, they had the law, they had their Bibles, they had their verses that they wanted, that they were built their case on. They had everything in them. They thought that they had everything the way they were supposed to be. And Jesus came along and they did not recognize who He was. And He quoted verses, "For as it is written." And He would quote a verse that they didn't even hear of. They had their set of verses. And He came along and just... the one in where it talked about the woman in that God fed during a drought. He pulled that right out of it. It didn't mean nothing to them. In fact, it made them mad. Why would you focus on her? We can take because it's written. But there's as it's written, that's a Sinai. And there's as it's written, that's a cross. Abraham had two sons. One by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. Through the promise. The one you could see, it was right there, the flesh, it was strong. And the one was just by a promise. One was something that man did, one was just a promise. One is something established and strong, and we can say, yes, right here it is. We've got it all nailed down. And one is, wait a minute, you're not fitting our pattern. You're not fitting what I think it ought to be. One is just is a promise. That's scary. That's hard. That's difficult. And one is comforting and strong. It's something that I know this is just where it is. Imitations. Imitations. The Bible tells us that in the last days, dangerous times will be here. It tells us that we know that there's all kinds. There's how many thousands and thousands of different denominations. And everyone has their established pattern. And they're imitating something. There's people that are in almost every denomination that just start reading the history book and they see, well, wait a minute, we've strayed from what our founders did. And so they get all stirred up and they try to reform what they're found. And they appear like they're really trying to get back to the basics. That's what most people call a revival. Trying to return back to what got it all started in the first place. And so they try to make a pattern. They try to copy something that they thought they had. But that copy is nothing but a cheap imitation. Nothing but a cheap imitation. There is nothing that will substitute for a man carrying a cross following the Lord. Nothing that'll substitute for that. We can make cheap imitations all day, and all it turns out to be is just some other form of idolatry because we begin to worship it. Religion is a substitute for faith. Verse 27, it says, "For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for more numerous are the children of the desolate than of one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are the children of promise." In Mark chapter 3, says a crowd was setting in verse 31. Said, "Then his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him." A crowd was setting around him, and they said to him, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." Answering them, he said, "Who are my mother and my brothers? Who are my mother and my brothers?" Looking about those who were sitting around him, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." We see what's right around us. We see our families. We see our children. Jesus saw those who were listening to him. And those were his brothers. Those were his mother and his brothers and his family. That was quite a shock. Can you imagine Jesus' mother saying, "Who are those people? Here's my real mother. Here's my real family." Those that are doing the will of God. Those that are hearing me. We put so much the verse that says, "Blessed are the desolate." We put an emphasis on our flesh, on carrying on the flesh. You know, we want to be proud because those are my children. those are my children. They came from my loins. They came from my flesh. We want to be proud of that. But that's not what Jesus, that's not where Jesus put the emphasis here. His children were those who heard Him and did what He wanted. We highly esteem this being able to carry on our family. We raise that up. That's what these women represented Mount Sinai, something continual, something carrying on. And the others, all they had was a promise. They only had a promise. But Jesus said that those with that promise would far out shine, would be much more than just those of the flesh. I don't know whether that's... I'm having a hard time tying all this together.
I just had a question. What you just said about children, that verse, wisdom is justified by our children. Does that have anything to do with what... Because I always wonder what that meant.
Wisdom is justified by our children. No, that's all right. I don't know how to answer that, really. But that's what he's talking about. I mean, Jesus, it wasn't his family that he was pointing out. It was those who were hearing him. And the children justified, they were carrying it on, the faith, not just their tradition. What we try to do is the point of the whole thing is that trying to look for something that we can establish is not where the answer is. Trying to look for, whenever people, we talk to people and they say, well, come and start a church here. I tell them, no, you be the church right where you're at. You be the church. Take up your cross and follow. Don't try to just duplicate something. Be something. You be the church. People just jump from church to church to church, trying to satisfy something, trying to have this image instead of just being it right where they are. People just jump from being a conservative to being stricter and stricter and stricter. It's not in the law. It's not in just who can be the strictest. Just being what you're supposed to be, taking up your cross, following the Lord right where you are. The early church, the Anabaptist, they had a cross. You know, just the history of the Anabaptist. They saw the need to be baptized as adults. And so they went to the church, the established church, and just said, why can't we be baptized? They didn't try to reform the church. They weren't trying to create anything. They didn't just set out to have something. They just wanted to be baptized. They saw a need to be baptized. And so they went to the church. And the church looked to the government, and the government said no. They didn't cause a big riot, cause a lot of trouble. All they wanted to do was be baptized. So they wouldn't let them. So they went and baptized themselves. They just got baptized. And that just brought a persecution. They died because of it. They were driven from their homes because of it. Just because. They just did what they were supposed to do. People are trying to recreate that. And now it's just religion after religion trying to separate and divide, trying to distinguish themselves as Anabaptist or as early Christian. These people weren't trying to distinguish themselves. They were trying to follow Jesus. And that's all. It's just so simple. They had a cross, and they carried it. They had a cross, and they just bore it. They weren't trying to figure out the doctrines. They just learned and put it in practice. The faith that sprung up from time to time in history, it just sprung up. Spontaneous. Someone heard and put it into practice. And now there's a multitude of people that are just trying to imitate all those things. Just trying to be counterfeits. They've got the form, but it's of a different spirit. They have the form, but all they're trying to do is copy something that someone actually did. Everybody calls themselves Christians, and they somehow think that if Jesus was here, he would just approve of everything they did. But as it was then, so it is now. Jesus would be in the midst of people who profess to be Christians and would be rejected. Now, just like he was then, nothing has changed. Anyway, anyone have anything else you'd like to share? Question?
Mm-hmm. That's a big difference. Real big difference.
that's the difference between trying to have a denomination. A denomination goes and establishes what they have. A church goes and teaches people to follow Jesus on their own. And that's why it doesn't fit in a pattern. You can't just take the, this is what it is, this right here, this is what it is. Follow these rules. It cannot work that way. I could live within a perfect set of rules all my life and never touch a cross. Never. And just live within that comfortably. But you miss the whole spirit of this one that was on the promise. Just miss the whole thing. And that cross, it just completely annihilates all of this form and religion. It just goes right across the grain. When Jesus came, it just went right, his life just cut right through all the established doctrines that these people of no faith had. It just went right against it. They couldn't stand it. Everything he did was wrong. It just cut right across the grain of their dead religion. And so it is now. So it is now. We open arms to people. All over the world, we just are looking for people just to openly fellowship with them. But it seems like everything we do just cuts right across the grain of what they have established. It just doesn't fit. You can't just put it all in a box. It won't fit. The cross and the flesh are at odds with each other. All right. Well, anyone else have anything? All right. Well, we'll meet back here this evening at 6:00. I just comment on the boys. Most of their comments were supposed to be about what they were supposed to be doing or what time when they chose. And I think one common thread I see amongst about all of them is there's a big old lazy streak right in the middle of us all. I mean, it's just pretty common to man. Just a big lazy streak. And read a book one time that this old man was counseling a younger man, and this old man just told him, if you want to be successful in life, make work your friend instead of your enemy. Make work your friend. Quit fighting, quit kicking against this. This is your friend. It'll be good for you. And most of it has to do with our attitude. You start getting an attitude and that's where we have a choice. It's one of the only things we have a choice in our life. Our attitude. We all have them. We're all tempted with them from time to time. But if you just keep nursing it, keep babying it, it'll grow. It'll grow and it'll grow. And it'll drag you deeper and deeper and deeper. It's easy to slide downhill. But to climb the mountain takes effort. I used to ask the people whenever we were in Hong Kong, we had met on the way upstairs. It wasn't an elevator, so we had to climb the stairs. And I would just ask them, is it easier going up or down? Of course, they would all say, it's easier going down. It's easy just to drift. It's easy just to go down. But it takes work and it takes effort and diligence to climb and to go up. And that's what we're aspiring to. Anybody can just drift. Get in the church and just float along. Go along. Get along. But whenever you start taking your cross up and just walking, it gets heavy, it gets hard. And there will be people standing on both sides of you, yelling at you, telling you you're going the wrong way. They'll try everything they can do to whip and hit and slap and do anything they can to keep you from going up. To try to get you just to float along with them. With all kinds of trouble. Like I said, sometimes we see the mountain and we don't know if we can climb it. Sometimes we see something in front of us and we don't know if we can make it. All we can do is take the next step. God never calls us to run a mile at a time. He calls us to take one step at a time. Well, Lord bless y'all.
Lord,
take us far as time is.
now.